Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God understands me. He overlooks my weaknesses. And after all, I'm locked into my lifestyle. It's genetic. Even many Christians will believe whatever lies give them cover to satisfy their sexual urges. These lies have devastating consequences. Today, cutting through the lies to get to God's truth about sex. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. The focus of our current series is Restoring the Soul. Pastor Lutzer is speaking about lies we love, lies that hurt, lies that may hit teenagers hardest of all.
You say to yourself, oh, I'm growing up as a teenager and suddenly I have these desires toward the same sex. I must be weird. Nobody has ever endured this before. I'm different. The Bible says there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There are people who have had those feelings, who have overcome those feelings because they've chosen to go in a different direction. And your experience is common to humanity. And if you say, I'm locked into my lifestyle, there's no way for me to get out. If that's what you're saying, the scripture would say here that you are calling into question the very faithfulness of God, because God says He is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Most people who think that they are locked into a certain lifestyle, whatever that lifestyle may be, have such an experience. First of all, because of incomplete repentance. They leave bridges to their past life. They aren't willing to take care of the whole thing. And as a result of that, they are locked. You've heard me say before that if you're going to jump across a chasm, it is much better to do it in one long jump than in two short ones. And when it comes to sin, it is much better to do it upright, you know, to really take care of it. So oftentimes it's incomplete repentance. The other thing is, it is trying to deal with your sin alone when God says that the body of Jesus Christ has to be enlisted to help you. We talked about that last time. There is such a thing as healing in the presence of God, but there's also healing in relationship to one another that must be taken care of, and that is taken care of through honest confession and openness. That's why the message on shame was so important. But it's a lie to say we're locked into this and things can't be different. You can stop living with your boyfriend. You can stop thinking to yourself that your lifestyle has this inevitability connected with it. There is a God in heaven who can help you. Now let me say this, that in the Christian life there's plenty of room for failure. Plenty of room for failure, but there is no room for this notion that failure has to be the pattern of my whole life. We all fail, but we can be forgiven and we can be restored. Now, what do we say about these five lies that we have so hurriedly listed? What do we say about them? First of all, let me say that truth sets us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But truth is costly. Even as I've been speaking today, there are some of you who are saying, okay, I hear what he's saying, but there's no way that my life can become truthful. Because if it became truthful, why then indeed the cost would be too high. The cost of shame, the cost of a relationship, it must remain hidden. About a month and a half ago, I was speaking at Promise Keepers up in Minneapolis. And here you have about 12,000 men in a coliseum there. What an opportunity for us who have the privilege of speaking. The next morning, during the worship time, the song leader began to talk about men who are committing adultery, and in effect invited men to come forward who were doing that. First of all, one man came forward, two men came forward, and then you end up with 250 to 300 men all standing there weeping. Wow. You know, as we think about that, we think, well, you know, that's exactly like men, isn't it? They are so immoral. Well, I began to think about that. 250 to 300 men committing adultery, and of course there may be others in the stands who didn't go forward, but I began to think to myself, well, you know what that also means? 250 to 300 women who are immoral too. This cuts both ways, doesn't it? But then I began to think to myself, what about these men? What do they do? Do they go home that evening and say to their wives, guess what? That may not always be the best first step. It would be much better for them to go and to confess to their pastor, who could then become an agent of reconciliation in this process, because many marriages are not able to withstand the strain if you're trying to work these things out alone. But yes, the answer is yes. Eventually, there has to be a clearing of the conscience. You just can't live in total freedom as long as there's something in your relationship that is just there, and it's there. Moment by moment, you've confessed it to God, but you know that you have wronged someone else, and so it's there in your mind, and it works on your mind and your conscience, and you want to worship God. You want to go to church and really sing those hymns. But even as you sing, it's there. Wow. So there are some people to whom I'm speaking who say, you know, the truth is going to be very costly. Yes, it is costly. But I want you to know today that it is the truth that sets us free. So that's the next thing that I want to say. The truth is costly, but secondly, the truth heals. It heals. Because there are some of you to whom I speak in whom there is darkness. It's darkness that has been shielded. Maybe even you think you're shielding it from God, but it certainly has been shielded from others. And you think to yourself, well, I can't bear it. I can't go through it. I can't even think about leaving what I'm doing. But it is the truth that does set people free. And the title of this series of messages is, of course, Restoring the Soul. And what we want is restoration. We want the defilement to be gone. We want people who are restored. I speak to some of you who are living together unmarried. You've rationalized it. You've explained it away. You think this is a beautiful relationship. Well, explain all that to God, would you? And then there are those of you who may be in adulterous relationships. It would be surprising indeed if there were not many even who are listening today who are involved in that. There may be some of you who are into pornography and you say to yourself, there's no way out of this pit. And it is a pit. What a pit that digs itself deeper. The only way out is truth. Truth before God, yes, but also truth to those whom you trust to finally come out of hiding. The basement, with all of its bugs and cobwebs and dank smell, will never be cleaned until the sunlight is allowed to go in. And of course, there are some people who do not change when they see the light. There are some people who will only change when they feel the heat. And that's what we pray for, that the blessed Holy Spirit of God will turn up the burner so that we might be willing to do whatever God asks us to do to be fully right with God and with others. This past summer, a couple whom Rebecca and I have known for many years and who live in another state asked to have breakfast with us. Over breakfast, they shared betrayal. The man was involved with someone else, and this came to the attention of the wife, who suspected it but did not want to believe it. You know, there are women who live with that. They say, I suspect it, but even if it's happening, they don't really want to know it because they say to themselves, I can't deal with all of the implications. So let's pretend that everything is fine. That's the way things were in this marriage. Fine marriage otherwise, with some lovely children who are serving the Lord with fervency. And so the man began to share, and the wife began to share, and they began to weep. And they began to tell us the story. The story of forgiveness, a story of reconciliation, and may I say, in the process, a story of healing. Because we are interested in the restoration of the soul. And it costs to be restored. It costs Christ. It costs us. A couple of weeks later, we received a lovely note from them. It was an unexpected note. And they talked about how providential it was that they had the opportunity to speak with us, and how just sharing their experience and we praying for them took them one more step further along the path of restoration. The lies had to go stripped away so that restoring could begin. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'll overcome all the resistance that there may be to this message. All the people who came here today thinking that this would just be another nice Sunday of worship and they could go back home and now suddenly find themselves confronted with truth that has been made real to them by the blessed Holy Spirit of God and now wondering, now what do I do? Father, grant your people, O God, to do the right thing. Overcome the lies that have been so carefully crafted, the lies that have been believed and trusted and reaffirmed. Show us, Lord, our great need. We all, Father, recognize our sins, but we also recognize your forgiveness and your healing. Father, by your blessed Holy Spirit, grant grace upon grace. Help us to remember that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Pour grace into the lives of all who have heard this message, we pray. And bring a resolution and forgiveness and commitment and restoration. Oh God, we are so needy. Do that, Father, we pray. Now grant, oh God, thy blessing and thy divine intervention and help in Jesus' name. Amen.
And that's what we need, is God's direction, his intervention, and his help. My wife and I have written a book entitled Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know. For example, it has a devotional on the topic of conscience. What do we mean and how do we keep a clear conscience? It has a devotional on forgiveness, on the glory of God, on the fear of the Lord. These are the kinds of topics that are dealt with, and by the way, at the end of each of the sections, there are questions, so that this book can help even as you do Bible study with your friends. I think it'll be a tremendous resource to help you. We exist to help you run all the way to the finish line. Title of the book, Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, concluding Lies We Love, Lies That Hurt, the second in a 7-part series of messages on restoring the soul, healing in an age of brokenness. Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know is a book by Pastor Lutzer and his wife Rebecca. It will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.